Welcome back, everyone. Stack the Pads. I'm your host, Owen Kreps. John Hanna's not here today, but we have Nathan Breisinger joining the show as our co-host today. How's it going, Nate?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm all right. And we have a special guest here today, not a player, but a media professional who's a member of Pittsburgh Hockey Digest. Please welcome in Brian Mitchell, a.k.a. Mitch. How's it going?
Good. How about yourself?
All right. Excited to finally be back just overall with men's and women's hockey on the island, pretty much. I mean, women's hockey overall, just they haven't played as many games as you honestly would like them to. But men's, I mean, you can't complain about the season that they've been having so far. They look phenomenal. Best start in their season in franchise history.
Yeah, absolutely. I've spoken to several of the players over the phone over the last couple weeks, putting interviews together for my own podcast, and just to hear how much trouble they've had to get practices and what they've had to go through and things like that, I have to lead this off by commending the coaching staffs and everything of being able to pull this off. I've spoken with several coaches, and you know it's tough to be able to change a schedule on last minute's notice, travel, and things like that. So, yeah, well, to your point, yes, it is great to be back, and for the men's season especially, to have that many games in and them being prepared to play like they have, it's been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, Nate, you've been covering pretty much every game for us at CSN. What have you seen for this team just overall?
They look incredible. I mean, compared to last year, it's been almost, you know, a 360. I mean, really, the goal scoring has increased tremendously. They have everyone sort of buying in and scoring. Noah West is playing awesome. So this team, I think they really can roll here. And on their side of the conference in Atlantic Hockey right now, they're taking care of business.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah, it's been a while since our last episode for Stack the Pads, RMU Men's and Women's Hockey Podcast. So real quick, I just want to go over the kind of the games we missed overall. Ever since our last episode, women's only had one series and then an unofficial scrimmage. The scrimmage was a 7-0 rout over Adrian College. And then just recently, the first two games I was able to personally get back into the swing of things with was a women's hockey loss to Penn State 3-2 and then 4-1. So yeah, RMU women's hockey is 4-2 overall, 4-2 in the CHA as well. Really not much in terms of, I guess you really can't take much away from this team because they've only had two series against Lindenwood and then the Penn State series. It's still a little early to kind of get your take on this team. Boyle, Hanslick, Harley, Fiala, they're all tied with the team lead. They're playing right now, though. I know Emily Harley just scored, right, Breisinger? You said that, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Harley just got a goal. They're playing at Mercyhurst right now. But, yeah, someone, Mitch, that is able to go to pretty much all these women's hockey games, what have you seen from that team so far, and especially in the series against Penn State?
Now, first things first, I'm going to say that Penn State team, considering they played 9 freshmen throughout the entire series, they are scary good right now.
Yeah.
That's not a team that I expected to see that out of, and they definitely brought it all. Now, that being said, one of the questions I had from the women's team coming into the season, I've been covering them for this is the sixth year, me covering this that squad in different capacities, is an identity crisis. What are they going to do? Crisis is the wrong word. Their identity. What are they planning on doing this season? They just had two prolific scorers graduate in these last couple years that were able to maintain and control the play. What I'm seeing out of the team now is they're still trying to meld into what they want to be. I don't see a bona fide leader on the ice because you look at it, you were saying how many players are tied for the lead in points and scoring. Yeah, but that's what this team's going to be now. You're not going to have your runaway player. Lexi Templeman was always, you know, is a very good player. She's a very good two-way hockey player, especially, you know, somebody at her size at this level. She's going to be able to pull off what she does. It's amazing. Kitchener Rangers have always, like, been excited for what she could bring to the table, and it was great to see what she's doing. But, yes, the identity of this team is something that scares me a little bit. And at Penn State, it showed it a little bit more because you have a bunch of new players that come in and a bunch of young players that have the opportunity to prove themselves, and they came in and did it. Robert Morris just so happened to be the team they did it against, and they exploited a lot of those question marks of this team melding. The passing, a lot of that wasn't as crisp as I expected from the past of this team. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with what you saw on Saturday?
Absolutely. I think the biggest area that I saw that just from last year to this year that I saw was just the hugest difference was the power play and the special teams, because you don't have the quarterback out there. Not that Gephardt was necessarily the quarterback. She was, you know, controlling play. And it's not that I'm not seeing stuff from, you know, Boyle and Templeman and Hanslick. They're trying. Absolutely. Hanslick had the one spinorama goal that she almost capitalized in against Penn State. It was almost a goal of the year. It was crazy. But, you know, truth be told, they're not as talented as Gephardt is, or as, you know, go back, Brittany Howard is. And that's fine. They need to, you know, take a page out of the men's book just overall in terms of playing together as a team. And I really do like the freshmen on this team. We don't have as many as, say, Penn State, but, you know, I've been liking, like, what I've seen out of Ellie Markovsky and girls like that. Nate, what about you?
Yeah, to piggyback off both your points, I think this team is struggling to find their identity. And like you said, Owen, with the men's hockey, they have a good structure around them. I think the women's hockey team, they're doing too much individually. I think they're not coming together and meshing as one. And like you mentioned, the Hanslick play. I mean, just stuff like that where they're sort of trying to take it individually, where they're not as – I mean, early on in the season against Lindenwood, the first home series, I thought there was a lot more team play. But once they started getting down against Penn State, you started to see it unravel just a bit. Without that leadership,
yeah. You start to see, you know, girls like Emily Curlett carry the puck just the entire span of this, and she's more than capable of doing that. Don't get me wrong, but there's been a lot of plays that I've saw that are just, I agree with that. Like a lot of selfish plays that lead to turnovers and things like that. Yeah.
Well, a lot of that, and I'll want to just piggyback off of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of that goes back to what I'm saying about the IQ and melding on the ice. You have to have the ability. Yeah. Emily Curlett can do a lot.
Absolutely. But
now everybody knows Emily Curlett's the big gun out there. Mm-hmm. She has to get it on net for a Michaela Boyle to get her opportunity. She's got to get into the corner for a Kylie Hanslick to be able to bring it out. Lexi Templeman plays that half wall to the crease very well. So you have to have that ability. Now they're putting the pressure on that back end, and you're seeing a lot of what Curlett's been doing is, especially on that Carly goal, I just watched a replay of it that just happened. They're pinching their defense a lot. The big reason that I'm seeing is that people aren't in position, or they're taking away the lanes from Robert Morris, and they have to create those opportunities to be able to score the goals.
Yeah, RMU women's hockey has just been one of the best programs in terms of offense from the defense. I mean, you just look at Legue and Curlett. And
it wasn't always like that, though. And I started with the Welshie and the Legue era, watching players like Catherine Murphy come into her own in her last three seasons there. You know, those weren't pieces that this team had always had. They were always top-heavy, Vint. You know, you're talking about players like Richards, Vint, all them that were able to score over a period of time. Yeah. Now they're moving this, and that, you know, they lost their front end identity right now. And you're seeing that a little bit here and there, but it's going to take time. And the problem is, I was joking with everybody. I was like, this is weird that we're talking about game number 6 that actually counts. Like, you take that 7-0 win against Adrian. Adrian's a D3 school. That's going to be, you know, it was one of those very good jobs of getting a team in here to play, to get ice underneath these girls to play. And that's the, you know, that's what you saw in that game. Now you get back to conference play where it matters. Yeah, 4 games against Lindenwood. That's the end of November, December, man. We're talking now, we're getting close into February.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I've really noticed about this season is, like, we've had, I mean, men's hockey, they've been able to play 6 series, and women's hockey, they've been able to play just the 3 with 2 coming against the same series. It kind of just shows where the priority is at. And obviously that's, you know, you take that with a grain of salt, obviously what you take it as it is, but what do you think that, you know, has to do with the overall, just, I don't know, the development on this team and just the way that they can progress through a series, given that they've had a lot of gaps in their schedule just overall?
It comes down to how they practice. And, you know, you say that the games, you have to bring it to the forefront. You can only do so much in practice until you actually get out there and have to face the adversity of what the opposite coaches are changing on the fly and what's, you know, what they need to take away and how they're melding is they need to learn each other, basically, when it comes to where their positioning is on the ice, what their tendencies are. You have that time off, and you're looking at this team, and, you know, you're down players now. You lose a Courtney Coleman. Janie Sandoval doesn't come back after this season. You're looking at that, you know, okay. I'm trying to get her name in my head. Sarah LeCavalier, big gun on the point, always dependable back there. You lost that in the whenever she graduated. Natalie Marcuse, probably I called her Gumby all the time because she would get hurt. She would go as hard as she can. Look like she's going to be out for the game, and she plays the next shift. And then Gebbert believes this team needs to learn who each other are.
Yeah.
And they need to learn where they're going to be in position-wise, and they need to learn to accept that that part of what they were whenever they were playing in their junior teams may not adjust to what is in the collegiate level. And they need to work with each other to learn that. And that's what I think is I'm seeing a lot of out of position. I'm seeing a lot of forced passes through the D that you thought maybe work if it was – no, that's not going to work. You're forcing shots because they're putting three players on Curlett, you know, instead of working it up to the top point. It's things like that that I'm seeing that this team can learn a little bit, and that only works through experience. And we're six regular games and an exhibition game into it.
Yeah, I agree. With just a limited number of games, I think you're lacking that chemistry that teams in the past have found. And like you've mentioned, with just them practicing, they haven't really gotten together. But I think another thing that hurt them was they started off playing CHA action with Lindenwood. They didn't get really those non-conference series in like they did with their Union and Clarkson in the years past. So that sort of gives them the opportunity. Yes, it's not league play, so they can sort of mix and match with Colantino putting different lines together and finding that chemistry. They haven't been able to do that this year. And I think going in and winning four straight against Lindenwood was good for this team. But I think maybe they got ahead of themselves a little bit going into the Penn State series and maybe thinking that they could just run over this team, especially like you mentioned, Brian, with all these freshmen. I mean, two freshman goaltenders and seven skaters. So I think they got a little bit ahead of themselves and they haven't found that chemistry yet.
Yeah, and that's the thing that plagued this team back in the 15-16 season where they felt like they were so much better than they were playing. And they saw that around tournament time. They slid into the postseason. They lost the series. That was their last series loss. That was their first series loss since that season. They lost in Syracuse and then they lost at home against Mercyhurst and then lost at Syracuse or in the inverse of that.
Yeah.
Before they went into the postseason against Lindenwood, which, by the way, goaltender was Nicole Hensley at the time, if anybody knows that name from women's hockey. They lost the first game of that series, then won the next two, and then I was in Buffalo with them for their loss against Mercyhurst. And they lost, I believe it was 4-5 that game. But they started to put it together towards the end of that season. It's just a matter of meshing. And then you saw what happened the following season. That core of that freshman class elevated. You brought in last year's graduating class. So, you know, your Marcuse, LeCavalier didn't transfer to the
following season. She transferred after. She was in Notre Dame.
And Gebhard came in during that time. They lost one transfer at the time. But, you know, you look at that and you think about it, you're seeing a lot of similarities to that team. You don't have as many freshmen now. You only have one that's playing. Molly Padona has not played more than a couple shifts that I can notice. And that, you know, that might be by design. Some of these players get slow played in. Some of these players aren't ready for it, or they think that they need a little bit more time. I mean, I could name 15 players off the top of my head that in that situation on both teams. But, you know, you have to play to win, and you have to go with what works. And you're seeing similarities to that. Do I think that the following season they're going to turn around and win the CHA championship? You just had 4 years where you were in the finals.
Yeah.
You took one home. You got to consider, you know, maybe, you know, that you got to build on that. So
yeah, not to mention the regular season championships. And then just taking a look at the CHA women's hockey standings right now, Penn State's at the top, 6-1-1, Mercyhurst 3-1-0, RMU 4-2 for your top three. And then the USCHO for rankings, the only notable one that we'll mention is Penn State is ranked 10th now, which and then Murphy was receivable. So moving on to men's, a lot more content just overall to talk about because, you know, more games overall. Since the last episode on this podcast, we've had a lot of games overall. They finished their second half of the kind of non-traditional series against Bowling Green because they were splitting up games. One was in early December, one was in late December. They lost the first game 6-3 and then the second one 2-1. Don't be discouraged, though. Bowling Green is currently ranked 8th, and, you know, RMU was ahead in that game and, you know, played competitively over there. They also had 6 games against Niagara, 2 at Niagara, 2 at home, and then RIT series in the middle of that where there were 3-1, a 3-1 win and a 4-3 win over RIT, and then the Niagara 6-1 win on New Year's Eve. 3-2 overtime win, which highlight reel overtime goal there. And then the most recent series on the island, a 5-4 win in game one and then a 6-2 to sweep out the series. 11-3 overall men's hockey. And then we are currently ranked 17th, 9-1-1 in conference play. What have you guys seen from just this dominant franchise start to this team?
Go ahead.
I mean, like I said earlier, they're playing phenomenally. Everyone's buying in, and I think, I mean, really the top 4 or 5 guys have played tremendously, and that's Nick Prokusic, Hernandez. Granny Bear's having a much better season than he did last year. I mean, he only totaled, I think it was 5 goals and 7 assists, and he's already surpassed that with assists and point totals. Everyone's finding the back of the net, and it's even the freshmen are coming in and stepping up, and Randy Hernandez has been unbelievable. That duo of Prokusic and Hernandez, they've been together all season. Derek Schooley's been moving them up and down with different players, whether it's Santeri Hartikainen or Matthew Guerra lately. But they've just been outstanding, and they've been able to score left and right, and they're fast, and they're giving other teams lots of problems.
Stop me if you've heard this before. Identity crisis.
Yeah.
That's what they had last year.
Yep.
You noticed how, you know, some of those losses they could have changed. They were close losses, things that maybe a bounce here, maybe a bounce there. Mm-hmm. This year, that core is back. Nick Prokusic, second year captain now.
Yep.
Nick Jenny, which I keep thinking every time, I keep forgetting that he was on the taxi squad for the second semester whenever they played up at the, when they played at Heinz Field. Mm-hmm. That was his freshman. That was true before his true freshman year. He was on the taxi squad because they had injuries. John Ray had left the program, and they needed a defenseman to fill in. The identity of this team is skill, and they've learned how to use it. And that's hats off to Derek Schooley for the game plan to be able to take those strengths and just run with them. You look at what this team can do with the puck. And you look at what this team can do away from the puck. He has taken his skill position players, his Justin Adamu, who had a down season last season, but he's back up on this year. Santeri Hartikainen looks phenomenal this year. Grant Hebert, you had mentioned, he was injured last year. He had a couple head injuries. Unfortunately, you know, that cut his season a little bit short here and there. He tried to get back, couldn't make it back a little bit every so often. But this team melded. And the one thing you had a question with last year, especially, Kapelmester stepped in here and became a legend in one season. You realize how that played out with Marat leaving, Kapelmester coming in. And then now they were like, well, what are we going to do? Well, they had West ready to go. I think they may have seen it, but nobody's seen what Noah West is going to be doing in that crease. It's awesome. I haven't seen much hype since Marat was a freshman. Since before his freshman year.
Yeah.
And he was still battling, you know, he had Dalton Isaac who had a season left, and he ended up taking over. And it was just like one thing after another led to, well, now we have a team that has bought in and it isn't starting. And I said it 1,000 times here, but I'm going to say it's on the defense, how they're playing.
Yeah.
That defense is playing phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, Nick Jenny on the lead of that.
Brandon McKaylian, yeah. What
McKaylian has been doing. on that. You know, and then you're rolling in LaFrance coming in scoring a goal on Friday, you know. I was there for Saturday's goal. I was upset because I was about to leave because I had to go do a job the next day that I had to be up early for. And I walk out, and then Kyler Head scores, and then LaFrance scores, and I'm like,
yep, two rookies.
What's going on here? And I missed apparently a great rest of the game, but still, Gary Heeman covers them regularly for us. But they're buying into the system. They are what the women are, you know, are striving, should striving to be right now, is understanding where each other are, and they're going to get there. I'm not, that's not a knock on that team. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that right now the men's squad is on fire, and that 17 ranking, I think it's only going to go up.
Yeah, that's tied for the highest in RMU men's hockey history. The thing that I've seen, and I've said this a lot before, is that I see a lot of similarities between the Columbus Blue Jackets and RMU men's hockey, and the fact that they don't have a superstar player by any means, but they all buy into the system and they all know what they need to be doing in their roles, what their niches are, and how they can contribute to a win. I really like, and obviously neither team doesn't have any, you know, talented players. You know, you mentioned Adamo, Hartikainen, and then, you know, Noah West coming in this year. I just really like how just this team can just buy in overall, and that does start with the coaching, and I'm really excited for the rest of this season for this team.
It's a funny thing, because I work with Gary Heeman at Lernerville Speedway, and he said, and I was talking with him in like July-ish, and he said, watch out for this Randy Hernandez.
Yeah.
And look at where your highlight reel goals are coming from. He's the one feeding Mikhailian. He's the one creating the plays out of the neutral zone. He's doing it in all three zones. This kid's dynamic.
Yeah, what's the full story on him? He's from Miami, right?
Yeah, he's from Florida.
Crazy.
I think his one of his family members was big into hockey, and he just ran from there. Just continue to build from there, and
tied for the second most on RMU men's hockey right now for points with 16 already.
Yeah, and that would be a Gary Heeman question, because he's the one that would give you all the answers for the RMU men's squad. But
also, like, another player that I've really noticed that is coming out of not necessarily nowhere, but I mean, he's a transfer junior, I believe, from Cedar Rapids, Jordan Timmons. He had, I think, the hat trick the one game, and has just been a dominant goal scorer, especially in the early parts of the season for RMU.
I've been following him since he was at Penn's Elite. But then he went to Cedar Rapids when we originally did Headwaters for the program. And he was always on our radar because he was doing something there. And he went to UConn and he fell completely off. And he said it in his interview on our site with Gary a couple weeks ago. We had a feature on him that he just feels like his skill set meshes a lot better with Atlantic hockey. When you're in Hockey East, it's a lot more skill. He's more of a power forward. And if you notice how Atlantic hockey plays, it's a lot of hitting, a lot of going to the corners. There's a lot of movement in front of the net. They play a lot more of the junior style than they do the collegiate style in Atlantic hockey. And it shows. So to see him succeed has been amazing early on. Unfortunately, you know, with the injury, we don't know the extent of what's going on with that, but he has been an amazing player to follow.
Yeah, right. You wrote a feature on him, right, Bryce?
Yeah, I as well spoke with him, and actually during that interview, I told him, I said, I compare you to a Tom Wilson-like player. Like you said, Brian, he's a power forward guy. He's physical. He does a lot, like you said, this team does well, a lot away from the puck. He gets to the front of the net. He gets to those dirty areas, and he bangs home goals, and that's just what his knack was this year before he went out with injury. And I think overall this team has been – again, doing a lot away from the puck, and going back to Randy Hernandez, with his game-tying goal against Niagara before they first forced overtime, he set up right in the slot, and Prokusic found him, and just like that, they tied the game. But Timmons and Hernandez have been both unbelievable guys that have came in and stepped in right away, and it's helped this offense produce a lot more. And I think also Hernandez has unreal speed, but Timmons does as well. He has underrated speed, and he can fly to the puck as well. And I think everyone with the increase in speed and the production, it's sort of feeding off each other, and they've been just a really good team to watch, and that's why they're ranked, and that's why they are where they are now.
Yeah, and not to mention, you know, some of the veteran players that have been on this roster before. Of course, Nick Perkusic is, I mean, he's leading the team in points right now. And then you mentioned the resurgence of Grant Hebert, and then Nick Jenny and Brendan McKelly and guys like that. Overall, in the AHA men's hockey is for Robert Morris, leading with 9-1 record, AIC 7-1, Canisius 3-1. And then, of course, as we mentioned before, 17th in the USCHO for men's hockey. Yeah. What do you guys, and then Mitch, you said earlier, you think there's that could easily increase over the next couple of weeks.
It's a weird, they deserve it, but there's outlying reasons for it. As we move along in the season, we don't know how the tournament's going to look in this era that we're in right now. And because there aren't as many teams playing, you never know what's actually going to be, you know, how the rankings are going to look. Mm-hmm. And you can't, so you're, it's the pairwise is out of the question now. Completely out of the question with pairwise, because you're not playing anybody outside your conference for the most part. There's a couple teams that have random, like Bowling Green playing, and it's regional stuff going on. But you take that out of the equation. I just think that if they continue to play very hard like they have been, and they can get, and they go in and they finally get those dates with the AIC in a tournament or something like that where they can actually prove, because you remember they're not playing anybody out east.
Yep.
They're not playing anybody out east. They're just playing our local team, like these teams right here and Bowling Green. So it's a small sample size, but I think whenever you look at the USCHO rankings, it's not always about the wins and losses.
Yeah, I really think that, you know, just name recognition and brand, like boosting, you know, like Bucci Man has retweeted some of our goals on Twitter. And like, it's just good to be able to get the recognition for it just overall. Like, obviously, you see that, you know, Robert Morris is a good team, of course, but also they're getting more popular just overall. Also of note this week, Noah West, AHA Goalie of the Month and Goalie of the Week and Rookie of the Week. So good for him overall. So that pretty much wraps up our men's and women's hockey portion. But we want to move on, given the fact that Mitch is here. And we just kind of just want to talk just overall about your career in sports media thus far. Where did you get your start just overall? And what got you interested in doing sports media just overall for Pittsburgh Hockey Digest?
Well, my start actually happened at the Riverhounds.
Okay.
Alan Saunders, the owner of Pittsburgh Hockey Digest, is also my best friend. So we've been going. We were Penguin season ticket holders since 2006 to 2006 since Crosby was, and I was 19. So it was like, you know, I just got the money now. I'm like, oh, I can go get season tickets. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And we, on a whim, bought season tickets. So we got into the games and we started learning a little bit more and more about it. He's been doing it for years. Uh-huh. But he's like, I'm going to the Rivers Hounds game. Do you want to take pictures? And I'm like, I've never done that before. Do you have a camera? Oh, yeah. Here's a camera. Use it. So I helped him out over the first. Then it was like, okay, I'm going to the island to take pictures of the Robert Morris men. Uh-huh. And that was the Jacqueline. I can't remember. Jacqueline was the captain that year. I can't remember who the captain was that year. Was it Wido? Wido. His graduating. I was there for senior night. And that's when I first really got started with Robert Morris. Then the next season, it was, well, we went to the tournament. We were up in Rochester for the tournament, and they lost the year after they went to the NCAA tournament. They lost to Mercyhurst. So then we went.
So do you do this full-time or part-time for Pittsburgh Hockey Digest?
I'm a co-founder.
Yeah.
At Pittsburgh Hockey Digest, I do this whenever I feel like it.
Okay.
Truth be told, I've never made a cent from any of this.
Yeah.
It's more I have passion. Just gone. Yeah. We have done it just because we found the hole in the area where nobody was covering anything, and we felt it needed to be shown.
Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, that's one thing I really like about Pittsburgh Hockey Digest. Obviously, there's so many Penguins, Pirates, Steelers coverage in the city, and really the only, from what I can tell, is you guys are pretty much one of the only major, you know, PIHL coverage, and then obviously helping out with the NCAA just overall. What has that been like, just from an experience? Is it sometimes more challenging to cover just, you know, athletics that are obviously not on a bigger platform than, of course, like, you know, the NHL and all that stuff?
At first, it was like a little bit more of, we're trying to showcase you. It's not about me, it's about you type stuff. Yeah. That's what we were trying to bring to the table. But as it's grown over the years and you watch stories like Robert Morris, Roman Kramer, I watched him his senior year at Sarah Catholic play for the Sarah Catholic Eagles. Then I saw him play for Penguins Elite. Then I saw him play for Johnstown. Then I was there when he was in Youngstown. He didn't play in Youngstown. We played, but he didn't really play that often. He was sent back to Johnstown, and then he came to Robert Morris. Like, those type of stories are what's fulfilling to us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
now, like, to grow into that and learn.
Yeah.
We had a piece in showcasing some of these players. That's an awesome feeling. It's
amazing. Yeah, what would you say your interactions, like, in just relationships with the players are? I mean, obviously, these are younger players than, you know, typical, like, you know, hockey professionals. What has just been the media relationship overall between, because it's kind of like a mutual relationship. Like you said, like you're trying to market them as well as yourself.
We are here to help them, and they are helping us by letting us help them.
Yeah.
The point, you know, like I have forged relationships with some of the, you know, the players after they've graduated. I still talk to several of them. I still know several of them. I always joke because Kirsten Welsh's husband works up at Barrel at the fitness facility up in Barrel. Mm-hmm. I see him all the time. I see her every once in a while.
Yeah. So
we joke all the time. I was supposed to do a photography for her wedding. I couldn't do it that day because the women had an exhibition game.
Oh, yeah.
So I sent Jen Hoffman, one of our former colleagues, down to do that. But like, you get to know these people, and it gets harder. It does get harder every year. Especially because I was always more in tune with the women's team than the men's side, because that was always Gary Heeman. We had a guy, but I was always, you know, covering them. I was on the road. I would go to Syracuse. I would go to Penn State. I would go to Mercyhurst. There were series that I didn't miss when I went there. And you get to know them because they see you every day, and they, you know, they have a good time. Like, and it's more fulfilling to see them grow into, you know, professionals and adults after their careers, and get to know that you had a little help in creating some of their, I won't say social, but like, you know,
recognition.
Yeah, being able to talk openly. Like, I've never wavered from trying to keep, you know, personal aside from business on this. It's always been one or the other with me. And sometimes it gets tough in this game, but at the end, you respect it. You respect the parents. I still hear from parents that graduated 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to go to Canada this last year to see Michaela Lowater's parents.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, you got to come up. You got to come up. I'm like, Mike, I'll be up sometime. And then we all got shut down.
Yeah.
But it's gratifying to see these players succeed and to see what they become and see where they move along and do what they're doing. I saw 7 years of Lynch on the island.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about that. I was there for, it was
Zach and Luke.
Zach's sophomore year. I don't know why the name split me. You know, like, I got to know the Lynches very well.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird going in not seeing a Lynch sitting in the stands.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, you see these stories, and it's gratifying to know that I had a piece, or we had a piece, in bringing these stories to everybody.
Well, before we wrap it up, just, I mean, me and Bryce being, you know, you're a sports communications major, right, Bryce?
Yes.
Yeah, both as just, you know, juniors and a sophomore in college. And you have any advice for us just trying to go into the sports media world?
Don't take yourself too seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When it comes down to it, I mean, I can't speak for the people who have gone into it and are really going gung-ho. I have to make the money. I have to do this. Make it your own. But remember that it's always about the athletes. It's always about what they're going to do with their careers. You're there. Like, it sucks to say, you're going to get a degree as a support system. You're there just to tell the stories of them. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Your whole job is to translate them to the people. And I try, this is what I'm a union representative as a day trade. You know, I work in a logistics, I work in a chemical plant where I'm a logistics court manager, basically. And I tell the guys, my job is to translate business to my management to employee. Well, it's the same thing with you guys. You guys to tell their stories to the world.
Yeah.
So don't ever forget that it's about them, but always try to make sure you put your own little touch on things.
Absolutely. All right. Well, upcoming for, I mean, not upcoming, it's currently happening right now. Women's hockey right now against Mercyhurst. We'll be able to catch you guys up on that next podcast. And then Mercyhurst for men's as well this Tuesday on the road at Erie. Thank you, Mitch, for being able to join us, and also Bryce for coming on for the co-host. And we'll see you guys next episode.
Thanks for having me. Take care, guys.